Praise the Lord. God is a good God. Amen. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. And so it's okay for you to be happy in here. Amen. This morning, I just have a very simple practical message for you. As I was praying through what to speak about this weekend, last night I was in the service and I spoke about making godly decisions. And this morning I'm going to just do something practical. And it's something that's part of my life, that whenever I'm making a decision, I go through a series of questions that I ask. There are about 10 things on my checklist that I go through just to make sure that I'm in line to what I need to do. And so this morning I just thought I want to take time and share about that, because there are a lot of people in the places of their life that they need to make a decision and they need to hear God and they need to be at a place where they want to know that they're lining up to the purpose of God in their life. And some of the people don't know really how to hear God or how to get into that place where they can get direction or guidance from the Lord. And about 6 months ago or something like that, I preached this message in a church, just in a sense of I got up to the stage and I really don't know what to preach, and I just thought, you know, I'm going to talk about this. And as I began to talk about this, the Lord just gave me just wisdom, because it's just so much part of my life. But what began to happen that week is, in this church, when they put it on the website, on there, in a matter of like 2 days, they had over like 2,000 downloads. In a matter of a week, over 15,000 people downloaded the sermon. And I began to realize that there are a lot of people who need help in making decisions. And so this morning, that's my basis, to take a few scriptures this morning. And more importantly, just go through some of the things that I do, just to help you, just to give you some wisdom in when you are at a place and that you need to hear from God. Is that okay? So let's pray and let's do that this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you mean to each one of us. And this morning, Holy Spirit, I ask for your anointing and I ask for your direction in speaking what is needed, and help me to cut aside what is not needed, I pray. And in all that happens in this place, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And everyone said, Amen. Now we have wonderful scriptures in the Bible that exhort us and that encourage us that God wants to direct our life. God wants to give us guidance. God wants to speak to us. We have verses that are quite famous, like Proverbs chapter 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And it says, He shall direct your paths. Amen. Isaiah 42:16 says, I will lead the blind by the ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. Amen. And so we have these verses that God says, listen, I will guide you. Even if it seems like you're taking paths that are not familiar to you, listen, I will guide you. I'll not forsake you. I'll be right there along your path to help you. We have verses like this in John chapter number 10. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He walks ahead of them and they follow him, for they recognize his voice. I like this scripture. It says, he walks ahead of them and they follow him. And so there must be something for us to follow. One more verse. Psalm 32 verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I like the New Living Translation. It says this. It says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Amen. And so we have all these verses in the Bible that promises that, listen, we can never be at a place where we do not know what to do.
That if we open ourselves and put ourselves in a position that God wants to guide us, God wants to direct us, God wants to speak to us and make choices. And as I live life, I begin to realize that many times our choices are not between what is right and wrong. Sometimes it's clear what is right and what is wrong. But sometimes what is not clear is what is wise and what is foolish. Because some things might be good, but they are not good for you. Am I making sense? Some things, when we look through the scripture and say, you know what? Hey, these things are not contrary to the scripture. These things are really good. But it might not be there that beneficial for the destiny and the path that God has cut aside for your life. And so it makes it a little bit more harder than to make the decision between the right and wrong. It makes it a little bit harder to make the decision between wise and foolish. Or I like to call it something that is good and something that is gooder. I know it's not proper English, but sometimes it's the situation that we are placed in life that we know this is good also and that is good also. And so we really need to hear God. And so how can I get God's attention? How can I get God's will into something? How can I hear God? And so every time I'm faced with a decision, whether I know something a little bit that I know I'm supposed to do this, I still go through my checklist. And for years now, I read also in my Bible that every time I'm about to make a decision that is major, about a decision that's going to affect something, I go through my checklist just to make sure that I'm in path of what I need to do. And so this morning I got 10 things on my checklist. I know it seems like a lot, but with the time we have, we're going to go through it very fast. And so these are simple things that we see in the scripture. Someone said like this, my dad said, the Bible is so simple, you need help to misunderstand it. And there is a lot of help in this world anyway. And so we're going to go through these 10 simple things. And so I encourage you to write it down. You know, God thought His word is so important, He wrote it down Himself. If you don't have a place to write down after the book of Malachi, there's a blank page. You just write it down. And so this morning, 10 simple things on my checklist. If you're at a place that you're making a decision, I would encourage you, go through the 10 simple things. And so here's mine, okay? Number one, check your pride element. I said, Nikki, what do you mean, check your pride element? The Bible says in Psalm 25 verse 9, He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them His ways. When the Bible talks about Moses, it says that Moses was a very humble man, more humble than any other person on this earth. Can you imagine that? Now, the problem is he also wrote that verse. But this is what it says about Moses compared to the children of Israel. That Moses knew the ways of God and the children of Israel knew the acts of God. That means the children of Israel only knew what God did, but Moses knew why. He knew how God thought. And so one of the things he understanding in the ways of God was that Moses was a humble man. Said, Nikki, what are you trying to say? I begin to realize that whenever I'm making a decision, one of the first things I check is, where is my pride level in this? Said, Nikki, what do you mean your pride level? Because many times, there is something that I want to do, and I don't know if you've ever been like this, I want to do and I'm not going to listen to anybody. It's what I want to do. And I focus everything on, hey, I don't care if anybody says anything. I don't care whether you agree or disagree. I don't care if you're for me or not for me. This is really, really, really something I want to do and I'm going to do it. Now, I know you probably think that, you know, I'm never like that. But all of us, we are like that. Maybe not in every decision, but there are some key decisions. We are always like that. Now, as a pastor, I've been a pastor for over 20 years and I began to realize that as a pastor, when people come for counseling and talking, there are two areas, it doesn't matter what we say, they're going to do what they want to do. Okay. And sometimes when we preach a message, they want to come for counseling. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. To tell the same thing that we told from here. Because they think it's something different for them. And I began to realize when it comes to two areas, number one, relationships. People don't want to listen. They're pretty much going to do what they want to do. Especially if it's somebody that's not married and they start dating somebody and they want to get married. And so as pastor, we ask them the simple question, well, is he or she a Christian? Right? I mean, you want to ask the question, well, you know, you want to get married, is he a believer or is she a believer? And I wish I could tell you 9 out of 10 or at least 8 out of 10, 80%. But 10 out of 10, they always say something like this to me. If it's not a Christian. I prayed and God said after I get married, they'll become Christian. Now, when they say God said, you can't say anything. Am I making sense? And every time it goes that direction, they fall into trouble. I begin to realize I can't tell anybody regarding money. Why? At that time you begin to realize what's important. Suddenly it's not God's money, it's my money. I. That pride factor. When it comes to money issues, it's very hard to tell people what to do. Very hard. They're going to pretty much do what they want to do. Am I making sense to you? And I began to realize there are a lot of things that we in life that we could really, really want. I really want something to happen. And we become arrogant and pride and we push away every voice and every warning and we push away what God wants to say. Why? Because I really want this job. I really want this relationship. I really want to do this business. Whatever it is. The children of Israel were like that. And I realize that if you beg God enough, He will give it to you. Now that does not mean that's His will. But because you're constant pestering, He'll say, hey listen, you can have it your way. And the worst thing, that the worst judgment of God would be God saying to you, you can have it your way. Why? Because you don't know what your way is and you don't know what you need. You're making decisions on the temporary. And so the children of Israel, they went to God and said, God, we want a king. We want to be like other nations. We don't want you to be king over us. We want a king in a human form. We want to be like other nations. Now that was not God's will for their life. But the Bible says in the book of Hosea, that in my anger, I gave them a king. Why? They get pestering God. And there are a lot of people. They keep going after God. Something. Not being open. Not walking in humility and say, Lord, I know I want this, but Lord, not my will. What is it that you want? Is there anything that I need to open up my life to? Is there any wisdom, any direction, anything that I need to choose or look at? And so I always check my pride element. Whether it's a job situation. Whether it's a money situation, whether it's the relationship situation. Do I want this so bad that I'm not willing to listen to anybody, including God? Then I must check my pride level and learn to humble myself and allow God to speak to me. I always tell people, He is the shepherd, His eyes are here. You are the sheep. Your eyes are here. There are things that He can see that you cannot see. Am I making sense to you? And so it's important that you always check yourself. When you want something so bad and you're not willing to listen, something is wrong. Am I making sense to you? The second thing on my checklist is this. I always, when I'm making a decision, I go through my checklist. The second thing I do is I always posture myself through worship. I always posture myself through worship. Now, when I use the word worship, that does not mean that, you know, because most people have this concept of worship that, you know, praise means fast songs, worship means slow songs. I don't know where they learned that. And so we hear people say stupid things like this. They sing fast songs. And they'll say something like this, "Now let us worship." What were you doing till now? Because most people's idea of worship means music. It means, you know, singing two verses, one chorus, you know, a bridge and slow it down. But in the New Testament, and 96% of the time in the New Testament, the word for worship has nothing to do with music, has nothing to do with songs, has nothing to do with any kind of instrumental playing. In the New Testament, more than 96% of the time, the word worship is the word called proskuneo, which means to kneel down or to bow before the Lord. We have verses like this in the Bible. The Bible says in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, and it names the people that were there. And it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Now they were together, these seven people. That doesn't mean that they were singing two verses and a song. Please understand. What they were doing, the word here is proskuneo, that they were together and they were kneeling before the Lord. They were kneeling before the Lord. We have verses like this in the Bible in John chapter number 4. Jesus said to a woman, "Believe me, the hour is coming where you will neither on this mountain worship, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship. God is spirit, and those that worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." And so when Jesus is talking to this woman, He's saying, "Listen, I know that you guys are used to going to a mountain to worship." Now that does not mean you're used to going to a mountain to sing two songs. But to bring your life in posture, in bowing down before and acknowledging who God is and who you are. Am I making sense to you? It's posture. It's posture. We have verses like this We read it usually during only Christmas time. But it says in Matthew 2:2, it says, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now please understand, the wise men did not want to come to Jesus so they can sing two songs to him. You know, we bought guitar, we bought drums, we bought, you know, piano. And so where is he? We want to worship him. No. They wanted to come and bow down before the King of Kings. Am I making sense to you? You know, if in most places, when somebody important came in, for example, if the Prime Minister of Singapore came in here, everybody would stand in honor. But can I tell you something? The King of all Kings, we don't stand in honor, we kneel. Am I making sense to you? Because kneeling and bowing down is a posture of acknowledging, "Lord, you are the creator, I am the creation. I understand your authority, I understand who I am." Am I making sense to you? The Bible says in Matthew 2:11, regarding the same people, it says, "When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped him. And they had opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh." And so we have another illustration in the book of Matthew chapter number 4. And you remember the story where Jesus in the wilderness fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says that Satan came to him. And Satan said, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Now, Satan wasn't asking, "Hey, Jesus, please bring your guitar and sing two songs to me." But he was saying, "Listen, come and bow before me." And that is the word proskuneo, worship. Say, "Nikki, why is that important? Why are you going through all these things?" Well, look at one more verse. Matthew chapter number 15. You remember the story of the woman who came to Jesus? She had a daughter who needed to get delivered. And the Bible says like this, she came and worshipped him saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs."
And she said, "Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat crumbs and fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. What did this woman do? She was somebody who was outside of the covenant of God, outside of the blessing that was there in the Abrahamic covenant. She came, well, she felt that she was rejected. Jesus said, "Listen, I've come only for the lost sheep, not for you." But the Bible says she came and she did what? She worshipped Him. Again, she didn't sing two songs. She came and bowed before Him. And I began to realize in my own life, when I need to make decisions and things, I'm going to crucial points in my life, the first thing I do is I check the pride element. Number two, I bow before the Lord. I'll go in my room, I'll go in my office, wherever I am, and I'll kneel before the Lord and I say, "God, here am I. Speak to me. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I acknowledge who you are, that you're my God, that you're my guide, that you're my teacher. Lord, I acknowledge that you're my shepherd who's leading me." It's amazing what bowing does. It brings all the faculties of my mind and all the attention of my, I say it like this, the attention of my mind and the affection of my heart. I begin to focus on God. Am I making sense to you? People say, "Well, you know, when I pray, it's very hard for me to pray because when I pray, I fall asleep." Next time, get on your knees. See how quick you fall asleep then. It's amazing. You bow before the... This is not legalism. This is not like, oh, you got to do this to get that. You don't understand something. You know, many times we look at principles in the scripture and we take those scripture because we don't understand, because we take it in the light of what we are reading and not in the light of the Holy Spirit shining something in our lives. You know, one day the disciples came to Jesus and said to Jesus, "Listen, should we pay taxes to Caesar?" And Jesus, you know, Jesus never liked answering questions. Because anytime you went to ask Jesus a question, He'll ask you another question. You know. And so they came to Jesus and said, "Hey, should we pay?" He says, "Give me a coin." And they got the coin and he says, he showed them, he says, "Whose inscription, whose image do you see on this coin?" And so they said, they were kind of a bit, you know, hesitant because they thought it was a trick question. It wasn't a trick question. He said, "Whose image?" He says, "Caesar's." And he says, "Then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And give to God what belongs to God." And he leaves it like that. But these people had a question. It's like, okay, but what belongs to God? And what has God's image on it? Now, what Jesus was trying to tell them very simply is this. The reason that you have a problem giving, because you have not given your whole self. Because what has my image is you. And I don't have you. Am I making sense to you? And so it's amazing when we look at the scriptures and we look at some principles and patterns that are there. It's hard for why? Because we take it in our natural mind. What is bowing going to do? Well, that's your natural mind. But when you understand the things of the Spirit, you understand that your whole life belongs to it, suddenly you come and you bow down. You have heaven's access in your life. Am I making sense to you? It's amazing how many Christians, they don't consistently bow before the Lord. It's one of those things in worship is never taught. In worship you tell people, "Hey, clap your hands, lift your hand, dance, sing, this, that." Bowing, if I go down, I can't get up. And I realize many times in my life, God will say something like this to me. He said, "Nikki, when you're reading the Bible," and now this is not all the time, this is many times just seasonal, God will come and say to me, "Hey, Nikki, when you're reading my word for the next 30 days, read it on your knees." I'm like, what is that going to do? I mean, I can read the Bible on my iPad, I can read the Bible lying down on the bed, but I realize when God says something, do it. And so many times I'll just go and I can literally tell you the pivotal points in my life when something has shifted, when God has said something and I obeyed. And those times when I kneel before the Lord, it's amazing that how everything in my life chooses its focus. Am I making sense to you? The second thing I do is I always learn to bow down before the Lord. The third thing on my checklist, now this some of you might not like. The third thing on my checklist is this: whenever I'm making a decision, I always plant a financial, sacrificial seed. Before I'm ever making a decision, whatever that decision is, I'll make sure I'll go and plant a seed, a financial seed. Now and when I say this, a plant, a financial sacrificial, something that will cost me something. Now many people, especially in countries like Singapore, people say we're a generous church. Actually, no. I began to realize that most people, they give only to needs. They don't give because they're givers. They give because they're moved by a need. And please understand, that's called charity. Am I making sense to you? You give because you are a giver. Especially when people don't deserve it. Especially when someone is there, please understand. Somebody said to me the other day, I like to help people. Of course, I like to sow, and that's but I like to listen to God when God says to me, hey, listen, Nikki, I need you to plant something as a seed. Because many times God tells me to plant something, it's usually in something I don't like. It's usually with people that I don't, it's usually with stuff that they really, I don't think in the natural they need. But please understand, planting seeds is not about somebody having a need or not. It's about being led by the Spirit of God. And there are many people who are only, they only give when it comes to needs. But listen, God wants a lifestyle of giving. Am I making sense to you? That you're not just giving by need, but you're giving because you are led by the Spirit of God. You're not making a decision where they need it or they don't need it. You're making a decision because God said it. Am I making sense to you? And so sometimes we need to check this out. And so I began to realize that whenever I'm making a decision, I learned a principle from the Scripture that I've never made a major decision unless I've taken some financial seed and plant it, whether it's in the church or in people's life. I'm not talking about tithes. I'm talking about seed offering now. I'm talking about something that is sacrificial to plant something in somebody's life or in the church. Why? Because I see it in the Scriptures. I want to just take you through some of the Scriptures very quickly. Genesis 46. It says, so Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father. Then God spoke to Israel in a vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob, and it follows through. And so I began to realize he offered sacrifices, and it says, and God spoke to him in a vision. Okay. 1 Kings chapter number 3. It says, now the king went to Gibeon to do what? To sacrifice there, for there was a great high place. So Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. Again, I see a principle. He went, he offered sacrifices to the Lord. And the second thing that happens, he gets a dream in the night. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 62 to 63. Then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices to the Lord. Solomon offered to the Lord a peace offering. 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. And so the king and all the people of Israel dedicated the temple of the Lord. Now they took not only him, but along with all the people, they offered as a temple, as the people in the, they offered unto the Lord. And the Bible says the next thing as they did this, he says, he completed everything as he had planned. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time as he had done before in Gibeon. And so I began to realize, listen, wow, he offered sacrifices to the Lord. Wow, and the heavens opened over his life. We have 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 6, 12 and 13. It says,
there before the ark, King Solomon and the entire community of Israel sacrificed so many sheep, goats and cattle that no one could keep count. The trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals and other instruments. They raised their voices and praised the Lord with this word: He is good, He is faithful, His love endures forever. And at that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. And I began to see, and I could take you through many, many, many scriptures. The Bible says, even in the book of Acts, Cornelius, he's a man. He says, your prayers and your giving has come before the Lord as a memorial. And the Lord gives him a vision. And so we see through the scripture that there is something about when you plant a seed, that you put yourself in a position to really access heaven's atmosphere over your life. Now, you have two choices. You can approach that in the natural. It's like, I don't know about this. You are saying you give something to get something. See, that's your natural mind. But the spiritual mind, it understands the principles of the kingdom of God. When we read the scripture in pattern and principle, it's not that God wants something from you, but it's that you have positioned yourself. You have taken something that is sacrificial and let go of your hands and say, God, here am I. I'm not hold anything. And I'm saying, God, I need you to speak to me. Am I making sense to you? I began to realize in my life, I'm not talking about tithes, I'm talking about planting a seed. I began to realize before I would ever make a decision, I go through my checklist. The third thing on my checklist is, I'll always take something that is sacrificial and I'll ask, plant it in someone's life or in the church. And I say, God, I need to hear you. Please speak to me. Am I making sense to you? I encourage you, you're in those crossroads, you're making decisions, plant a seed. The fourth thing I want to say to you in my checklist is that I pray in the Spirit with interpretation. I pray in the Spirit with interpretation. Some people call it tongues. And so, before I'm making a decision, the fourth thing on my checklist is that this is something that's patterned in my life daily. And so, I want to just take a few moments and talk about this. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Bible says this in Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. I chose the New Living Translation just for its wording. It says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire special abilities that the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will be all mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Now, this verse here is talking about these tongues and prophecy. It says, when you pray in tongues, you see, you encourage yourself, you speak to God, God speaks to you, but please understand, no one else understands. But your spirit is strengthened. But it says prophecy is better. It says prophecy is not just you talking to God, God talking to, but it's in a manner, it's in your language that you and the people can understand. But please understand, it's not necessarily saying that prophecy is better than tongues. Because we've got to keep reading what the outcome is. And so it would say something like this in verse number 10 through 15. It says, there are many different languages in the world, and every language has a meaning. But if I don't understand a language, I'll be a foreigner to someone who speaks it, and the one who speaks it will be a foreigner to me. Verse 12. And the same is true for you, since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives. Seek those that will strengthen the whole church. Now here's the key verse I want you to see. So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what he has said. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying. If I don't understand, what am I saying? Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing in the words I understand. Amen? And so here's Paul is saying, Paul is writing and saying, listen, it's important that you learn. It's like boxing two hands, you know. It's like I pray in the Spirit, and I pray in my natural language. I pray in the Spirit, I pray in the natural language. I pray in the Spirit, I pray in my natural language. Amen? And so it is important, and I talked to you this last time regarding this thing. I pray in the Spirit all the time. Paul also says, you know, I pray in tongues more than you all. And so it's something I do all the time. Nikki, what are you doing? I'm charging my battery. Because the Bible says, build yourself by praying in the most holy faith, even praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so I charge my battery. People say, well, do you ever get discouraged? I don't have any time. Why? Because the Bible tells you how to charge your battery. Am I making sense to you? Amen? And so I tell people all the time, I pray in the Spirit all the time. I'm taking shower. Why waste time? Am I making sense to you? Some people, they're cooking 45 minutes. 45 minutes to, why waste time? I mean, get that ribeye steak, put it up, get your knife on. Why waste time? Some of you are going to work 30 minutes, you're sitting in that morning traffic. Why waste time? You're just dying. And then you say, I have no time to pray. Pray in the Spirit. But the Bible says in verse 13, it says, anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also that the ability to interpret. And so I learned this a long time ago, almost 25 plus years ago, that every morning I get up, and I do this habitually in my life. I get up in the morning and I spend the first few moments, the first 5-10 minutes, I'll pray in the Spirit. And then I wait. And then I pray, because verse 13 says pray. And so I said, Holy Spirit, I spoke in tongues. I spoke in a language only you can understand, God can understand. And so now, give me the ability to interpret. Am I making sense to you? And I realized something. You give God first place, God always gets first place in speaking to your life. Am I making sense to you? And so I stopped. I pray, I said, Holy Spirit, give me now interpretation. And every day I got my iPad or I got a notebook, and everything that comes to my mind and my spirit, I began to write it down. I began to write it down. Usually it will be something like this. It's amazing, when I started years ago, you know, it was a little bit off here and there, but over the years as I began to practice, I began to get sharp at it. And the Lord would speak to me. He said, today at 4:43, you'll meet a person by the name of Philip. Today, you'll be going to this. I mean, I'll be like writing throughout the whole day. Hey, this. And you know, I'll keep it. And it's amazing to me, throughout the day as I go, how much of what I wrote down in the morning, God's already spoken to me, that gets happened that day. Am I making sense to you? It's amazing to me. There are many times, I remember, Few years ago, I had a friend of mine that I met, and I spoke for him and things like that. He was a very good guy. He wanted to come to our church to preach, and I said, hey, anytime you're free, you come, you know, when you're in the United States. And he was living on another side of the United States, and I said, when you're on our side, come and preach. And he called me at the wrong time, because that time we just went through some difficult times in the church. We had the flooding, we were damaged. He said, hey, you know, I can come in 2 weeks to preach. I'm like, it's a bad time. Because financially we were going through a very hard time. I said, okay, I'll let you know by tomorrow. In the morning, I wasn't even praying about this thing or anything like that. And so I got up in the morning and I do my normal habit.
I got up in the morning, I started praying. And I stopped. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I prayed in tongues. Now help me to interpret. I took my pen and I began to write down. And one of the things I write down, I had no clue what I was going to write down because the Holy Spirit would drop words. And the Holy Spirit said to me, He said, at 10:43, get on the website and book his ticket. And I'm like, why 10:43? Why can't it be like 10:44? Or why can't, or why? And so I wrote down, at 10:43, get on Delta Airlines and book his ticket. Okay. And so, I wrote down, there are many things I wrote down, but one of the things I wrote down is like that. And so when I wrote that down that day, as I was going through the day, about 10:40 something, I said, let me go check on the website. And so I went on the deltaairlines.com. I put in from this place to this place. Normally from that place to this place, the ticket is usually about $1,100. Even if you get it on sale, it's about $1,000 somewhere around there, And so I went on the website, I put his name, I put the city origin, departure dates in and things like that, and suddenly a price popped up. And I thought, this is not right. But hey, let's just follow through. Because it said $43. And so I said, book it fast. I put it on, put my credit card, went through, and it booked it for $43. A little bit later in the afternoon, they had news flash. It was on the Yahoo and all these things that Delta Airlines had a glitch in their system. When they had a glitch in their system for a period of almost like 1 hour, okay, and that's why I got the phone. Now I had no idea that there was going to be a glitch, but can I tell you something? God knew that there was going to be a glitch. Am I making sense to you? And at that time, I booked it, and they came out with a newsflash, hey, if you book that ticket, we'll honor it. It's our fault, or whatever that it was. And they've done it. And I'm like, this is amazing. I could literally, today, if I just take these few moments, I could tell you at least a dozen plus testimonies that have happened in this 1-2 months like that. Why? Because of prayer and interpretation. I'd get up in the morning and pray. And it happened just a few weeks ago. I got up and the Lord said, hey, listen, don't make any lunch appointments. I'm going to get you lunch. I was like, okay. And I said, why would I make lunch appointments? I don't know. I was teaching in a Bible school and they usually have lunch. And I said, I'm not going to. And suddenly my phone rings. It's a person that I've not seen for years. And he said, hey, Nikki, I'm in town. You're free for lunch. I said, when? He said, now. I mean, who calls you and says, hey, are you free now for lunch? Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm not even at home. I'm in a different country. And he said, yes. Wow. He puts me in a car. He takes me. He said, listen, I thought, I'm going to meet so-and-so person. He's like one of the top, anyway, very famous guy. And he says, I just thought you should meet him. I'm like, okay, we'll meet him. He said, so let's go see him. I'm like, okay, let's go see him. Now, I have no clue. Now, please understand, before that, we went through a very hard time in our church. We went through this whole flooding situation. We lost everything in the church. There's water in our church up to here, And so I go. I don't know this fellow at all. He said, let's go see him. I said, we're going for lunch. He said, we'll go to lunch afterwards. Let's go see him first. And so we walk in the door, and he's like one of the top 15 billionaires in the world. And so I go to see him. When I go to see him, he's like, you have a word for me. I was like, I have no word for you, brother. I just gave, I'm like dumbfounded, like, you have a word. I'm like, I got no word. God must have told you, he didn't tell me anything. So, but for me, no problem. Why? Because I got praying in the spirit. So I said, okay, let me pray for you. I stop. I said, Lord, I don't know, whatever you want to say to this guy. And I opened my mouth and I said things. Wow, the guy became going to cry, oh, this, that. I'm like, okay. Because you see,
I realize. It's very simple. Pray in the Spirit, stop, ask God, and just say. Simple. People say, you're a prophet. I'm not a prophet. I just pray in the Spirit, stop, pray, and I say. That's all. The guy was so impacted. He's like, man, nobody's ever told me stuff like this. I want to... And he was just weeping, crying. He has some sickness issue in his body, and he had some issues going on with his wife. He had issues with his children. I didn't know anything. But can I tell you something? Before I left, he wrote me a check for $100,000. I said, my goodness, it doesn't pay. It doesn't cost to pray. It pays to pray, you know. And you know, I was at a point in my life, it was so bad because we are going through such bad things in our church. But, and it came through, and our whole church now is fixed and things like because of the money that came through. But what I'm trying to say is many times, I could tell you things that happened this week. Why? I live in this zone. Why? Because I begin to realize that when I pray in this way, you got access to what God wants to do. He's a shepherd. He sees things that you cannot see. And so I encourage you, pray in the Spirit. Learn. Start today. Am I making sense to you? Yes, in the beginning it might be off here and there. But the more you tune your spirit to hear God's voice, the more you start to focus, the more accurate and sharper you'll get day by day if you do it daily. Am I making sense to you? Do it daily. Number five, whenever I'm making a decision, I'm not only praying, I do something which none of us like. And if somebody likes this, I want to see you afterwards. It's fasting. And we see all throughout the Bible in Ezra chapter number 8 that these people, they needed protection, they needed direction which way to take. And so they entered into a time of fasting. And so whenever I'm making major decisions, I also take, whether it's just one day, I cut aside food and I say, Lord, here am I. Not only prayer fasting, but I'm taking away what my pleasureful items are, and I'm saying, God, here I present myself before you. The real hunger is not for food, but it's for you, God. Number six, I always have on this checklist, have I considered the warning signs? Have I considered the warning signs? You know, God is such a good God that anytime you want to take a wrong choice, make a wrong choice, please understand, He'll always warn. Now you might not have recognized it, you might not have seen it, but please understand, He will always warn you. And so I sit back and I ask questions, I go through a series of questions and I look at, is there any warnings? Are there people saying, is there something that is happening? The Bible says in Luke chapter number 19, verse 44, He says, you did not come to recognize by observation in what I was doing. And so I step back and I observe what's happening in people's life, what's happening in our city, what's happening in the... I observe. Why? Because there are warning signs. And so I need to pay attention to the warning signs. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 10 verse 17, he who heeds instruction and correction is not only himself in the way of life, but also is a way of life for others. And he who neglects or refuses reproof, not only himself, goes astray, but also causes to err and is a path toward ruin for others. And so I always look at the warning sign. Why? Because please understand, when I make this, it's not only about me, it's going to affect others. And so I better make sure that I'm walking precisely and properly. Number seven, very quickly, is this, that I ask myself this question. Have I considered the counsel of my community? When I say community, I mean those people that know you. Not everybody has a right to speak into your life. But those people that you build relationship with, that you have connected with, he says, what are they saying? The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so I always ask, in my circle around me, what are they saying? Have I considered their counsel? And I began to realize, just because something and someone is expert in a particular area, that doesn't mean it's the wisdom of God. Am I making sense to you? We have the case in point in Acts chapter number 27. When they went on that ship, the guy who was the captain of the ship, who had done this many, many times, he looked at the people and he said, hey, listen, it's going to be a good ride. I do this all the time.
But Paul, he said he perceived that this is going to be a very difficult voyage. And he said, don't listen to him. Listen to somebody who's expert. He goes on this route all the time. And they listen to the expert, not to the leading of the Spirit of God. Am I making sense to you? And they ended in trouble. I just got out of a phone call 2 days ago. There's a person that I knew, a business guy, whose business was expanding, planting here, planting there, and then they wanted to start 3 more locations. I was with that person almost a little bit more than a year ago, here in town, here in Singapore. I was with them. Matter of fact, actually, just last time I was speaking here at them, and they asked me, he said, you know what, it's expanding, my business is expanding, should I open another office? I said, listen, let me pray about it. I prayed about it. I said, listen, you should not expand. I said, he said to me, but the Bible says we should be growing, we should be expanding. I said, yes, but for you, you should not expand, I said. Yeah, but we are overloaded and people are calling us. I said, listen, you should not expand. I don't know why. He said, well, it doesn't make sense because in the natural, everything that is there, we need to expand because we have the overload, we have this, we have also have the people. I said, well, you do what you want to do. My job is not to tell you what to do. My job is simply, you asked me, I prayed, I felt the Lord say, don't expand. Guess what? Like a good Christian believer, he did not listen. He did what he thought, because when his money is involved, hey, it's very hard to hear God. And he expanded, and he's doing well today. He's got like about, instead of 3, he opened up 5 different offices in Singapore. So, but Nikki, what happened? Well, he called me 2 days ago. On the phone crying. He said, Nikki, my wife left me. My children are no longer with me. I've been battling this thing 2 months in the court. I said, you didn't think. You thought only, you see, when God talks about growth, God talks about prosperity, He's not talking only in the area of money. He's talking about your whole life purpose intact. Am I making sense to you? And so when something might be seeing something in the natural one way, but you don't see the connection to another way. And he began to tell me the reason she left because I got so busy. He says, I've been home like once or twice a month. I've been going here and I got no time. But what can I do? And I said, the expansion maybe was not about money. The expansion God probably said to you was because it was going to affect this. And she walked out and said, hey, you can have your business, you can have your money. You got no time for me, I'm out. And so many times I want to say to you, listen, learn, not because something is expert advice from somebody else, but learn to get counsel and learn to hear God's voice because it affects everything, not just that particular area. Let me do it. Number 8, does the matter align with my convictions? Does the matter align with my convictions? It's amazing how many people do things that are not part of their value system. Does it align with my convictions? What is my value system? What is my value system? Let me just do number 9 and 10 and I'll stop. Number 9, is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision? Always be careful when you are pressured and say, hey, I need to decide by this weekend. I need to decide in 2 days. Listen. Don't let the pressure of time force you to make a premature decision. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:2, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. And lastly, let me close with this. Number 10, have I considered the transition period? Have I considered the transition period? Now please understand, we use this word and we say, well, we don't like changes. Actually, it's not true. We all like changes. But there's another word that comes with change, is the word called transition. When transition is not done properly, change becomes painful and it has negative implications in our life. And therefore we say, I don't like changes. Okay. And so, whenever you're making a decision, you'll always have to ask, because of course it's going to cause you to change, but you have to ask us, well, what is the transition? How are we transitioning? We have to look at the financial, the spiritual, the emotional, the relational implication of things and ask ourselves, well, how are we going to transition this in a way that change is beneficial?
Am I making sense to you? I'll tell you a story and I'll close. There was this church they had a new pastor. And when they hired a new pastor, the pastor came in. And in this church, for some odd reason, their pulpit for the preaching was on the left side of the stage. And it's always been like that. And so what happened? When the pastor came in, they wanted a new pastor, he came in, he took the pulpit on a Saturday night and came and put it right in the middle. And all the elders were upset. They're like, we've always had the pulpit there. Who is this guy? He just came, it's his first day. They didn't even pay attention to the message he's preaching, they just kept looking at the pulpit. For 20 years he's been like this, who is this guy? Things, we just gave him a job and now he's... And so as soon as the meeting ended, the first thing the elders did, before talking to him, they took the pulpit and took it all the way back and kept it. They had a meeting with him and said, hey, listen, the pulpit stays here. He said, no problem. Next Saturday he came, he moved the pulpit 1 inch. And he preached. 2-3 Saturdays later, he moved it 6 inches. 2 months later, he moved it a little bit more. A little bit later, he moved it more. In about 6 months, it was right in the middle and nobody noticed it. What was it? It was not the change, it was the transition that he needed to learn to get everybody on board. Am I making sense to you? Many times we are afraid the implication, the effects of a decision, because it's not the change problem, it's that we don't have a strategy for transition of those things in our life. When we look at emotionally, when we look at financially, when we look at relationally, when we look like how it affects things in our life, we need to have a plan. And so always consider the transition period. Am I making sense to you? Would you stand with me as I close in prayer? And I know for some of you probably is a bit lengthy this morning in preaching, and but I feel like I've done something, my job of what God put in my heart. And I pray that this really helps you in the simpleness and the practicality of what it is. Would you close your eyes for a moment and I'm just going to pray. The Bible says multitudes in the valley of decision. And so if you're at the place where you're making crucial decisions, then I want to say to you there is help. That God is a counselor through the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher. And so if you're at that place and you say, Pastor Nikki, I am in a crucial place of making some important decisions. Whether it's for my company, whether it's for my family, whether it's financially, whether it's buying a house, and I need help. If you are like that, then I want you to, wherever you are, I want you to just lift your hand to God, just for a moment. And I want you to just kind of pray with me for a moment. Just lift it to God, not for me to see, but for you, just come in agreement and say, God, here am I. Father, you see the hands and you see the people, and I ask Holy Spirit that you do what you do best. As the scripture says that you are the counselor, you are the guide, you are the advocate. And so Holy Spirit, I ask that you would intervene. And in some of the things even that I talked about, Holy Spirit, that you would speak in a way that is clear. That your word says in the book of Isaiah, this is the way walk in it, turn not to your left or to the right. For you will hear a voice behind you telling you that. And so I pray, Lord, for clarity for the people. Removing every hindrance and blockage. And just the flow of revelation in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a great hand clap this morning?
Church, even as... A reminder to us today not to be muddle-headed but to be clear-minded in how we make our decisions. We've been given 10 reminders this morning, but I guess as we listen to the message this morning, the Spirit of God is using the message to speak differently to all of us in the various areas of our lives that we need to surrender to Him, and where we need to make decisions according to the godly principles that has been taught to us. And as a speaker is encouraging us a short while ago, some of us here, we are struggling with issues of our lives, of our finances, of our careers. And if that is something which has been a hindrance to you, has been a big load upon your shoulders. You're not quite sure exactly how you're going to deal with it. As we sing this closing song, we want a life, church, that is refreshed. We want a life that is marked out with effectiveness. We are a balm. We are an oil of joy and gladness to people around us. We want to be dispensers of good decisions and wise counsel to people around us. So as men and women of God, we want to be the solutions and not the problems. So may the Lord use each and every one of us here in a mighty way to be channels of blessings, to be wise counsel to people around us. So we got to start that by being men and women who knows how to make the right decisions. Today we are given the 10 keys. And so there are specific areas in our lives that the Lord may want to touch us, impact us, use us, that we may impact others. And as we sing this closing song, as we renew our lives, as we refresh our lives, you come forward, build the altar of your altar before the Lord, and surrender yourself to the Lord, that aspect of your life. You're asking for tongues, asking for solutions. Come forward as we sing this song. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, the most important decision we've made in our lives was a decision to follow Jesus and invite Him into our lives to be our Lord and our Savior. And that decision, O God, was not made by human intelligence, was not made in a moment of clarity in our lives, but in a moment of submission, in a moment of realization, O God, that we are nothing and you are everything. And we pray, O Father, that the other decisions that we make in our lives, that the decisions will not be made so much of our own clarity, of our own understanding, or our own cleverness, but we continue to rely upon you, God, upon the realization, Father, that we must leave our life in your hands. And that, Father, to realize that we are nothing, but you are everything. So teach us, O Lord, to pray. Teach us to worship you. Teach us to humble ourselves before you. Teach us, O Lord, how to make a sacrificial giving and a sacrificial investment, Lord, in you. Teach us, O Lord, how to value you with everything that we have got and to trust in you, Lord. to make that transition, to make that change in our lives. And Father, teach us how to surrender and how to submit fully to You and to trust You in all things. And so, Lord, teach us, O Father, to leave the important decisions and all decisions of our lives in Your hands. And lead us, O God, into the path of understanding, into the path, O God, of goodness and abundance. And we give You thanks and praise, for this is our prayer to You this day. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all God's people say, Amen. Church, let's give the Lord a praise offering. Service is over. God bless you all.